Crabtree sat by Alice Fernchurch's bed and prayed that her dear mistress would not relapse into a coma. Only a few years ago, Minnie had been a carefree Cockney street urchin, and yet now, here she was, the stand-in governess of Lord Beeston's dead sister's children and nurse to her poor invalid friend. Yet something altogether more seductive was also vying for her attention, the thought of Lord Robert Beeston himself. Oh, how her terrible secret burned a searing hole in her conscience. But still she could not banish the reminiscence of that fateful night when Lord Robert had wrestled her to the ground and stormed the fortress of her timidity with the elemental force of his ardor. Fighting back the bitter tears of desolation, she gently drained her patient's bedsores, and determined to put away the image of Robert's dark, soulful eyes, to blank from her mind the intoxicating musk of his aroma, and most of all, to erase from her memory their reckless night of stolen passion.
Stolen passion. Oh, Brian, I wonder what you're doing now. Serving a customer. Making a piece of furniture. To think those hands that are probably dovetailing two pieces of wood together as I sit here are the very same hands that only last night were... Oh!
Oi! Pack it in!
Minnie, what are you doing here?
I am your muse. I work here, remember?
Well, aren't you supposed to be mopping Alice's brow?
Yes, and draining her bedsores, apparently. But then I noticed you were drifting off into another one of your erotic action replays.
Have you been snooping around in my short-term memory again?
I don't need to. Your nascent sex life is running on a loop through your frontal lobes.
You want to be careful. All that carry-on can play havoc with a girl's delta, if you know what I mean. Especially if the tide's been out for a while.
Yes, thank you, Minnie. I think you'll find you're my muse, not my mother. And anyway, you were the one encouraging me to take the plunge, so to speak. Brian and I are both very shy people, and it took a lot of courage to become lovers. Particularly after I hit him in the eye with that champagne cork. But now we have become lovers. I'm blissfully happy, and I'm not going to apologise for it.
All right, keep your hair on.
And anyway, it's not just about being lovers, it's everything. Everything about him. Oh, Minnie, he's so... so...
Oh, no, here we go.
Oh, Brian. Around the world cruise. It's too sweet of you.
How else could I show you the stars over the equator?
It's true, they are beautiful.
But not as beautiful as you, Anna.
Oh, Brian.
You know, I didn't bring you on this cruise just to look at the stars.
You didn't?
No, actually, there was something I wanted to ask you.
Brian, you're kneeling.
Anna, would you do me the honor of... What on earth was that?
Oh, nothing. What were you saying?
Goodness me, we're sinking.
Excuse me, Mom, sir.
Minnie.
Sorry to interrupt, but we've hit an iceberg. All aboard the lifeboats. All aboard the lifeboats. Back to reality.
Well, really, icebergs in South America.
Brian, wait. What were you going to say?
Not a scrap of internal logic in fantasies nowadays.
Minnie, what have I told you about gate-crashing my daydreams?
Fancy having a bloke propose to you on the Titanic.
It wasn't the Titanic.
Yeah, well, a bit of poetic license to bring you back to Earth, my girl. Look, it's all very well and good you being in love with this geezer, but it's my duty to tell you that it's having a detrimental effect on your work.
What do you mean?
Well, your concentration's poor, you can't sit still, and you keep drifting off into fantasy land.
No! What do you mean about me being in love?
One, five, one, three, and an eighth. Oh, even grading sandpaper's fun when I'm thinking of you, Anna. Oh, Anna, Anna, Anna. What a beautiful name. A beautiful name for a beautiful woman. Hey, little fertility doll. Hello, little Buddha. You really are my lucky mascot.
Lucky mascot? But what is he saying?
People today, they have no respect for the miniature deity. But let us not be sending out bad vibrations. At least Brian is happy.
God, I feel good.
Of course he is happy. He has a woman. Once man finds his soulmate, then he is complete. Just look at the smile on his face. Why is he smiling like that?
You, of all pagan deities, are asking me this? Because he has been playing hide the lingam, of course.
I'm surprised at you reducing the species to its basic instincts. A soulmate is so much more than just a sexual partner.
I know that. That is what I'm always telling you.
Oh, those eyes, those lips, the line of your jaw, the nape of your neck, that dip into your cleavage, and then...
You see? Sexual infatuation.
He is falling in love. But why are you being so skeptical?
I am not skeptical. I am rational.
Well, you should let your hair down.
That is a little unnecessarily cruel.
You're metaphorically speaking. Oh, don't pout. Your shiny head is very handsome. Listen, my friend, we should be congratulating ourselves. We have guided Brian safely into this relationship. We should celebrate. Our job is practically over.
Hey there, Brian! How's it hanging, man?
Dougie, what on earth are you doing here?
Lady Hornhouse of Romance. No, I'm afraid she's on a break at the moment.
Who's on a break?
You are, dear. You don't have enough breaks.
Who are you and what have you done with Brenda?
We never chat, Deirdre. We should chat more.
About what?
No, whatever. Anna's very happy with this new man, isn't she?
She's on cloud nine, Brenda, but I thought you didn't approve.
Well, I might have aired a few initial reservations, Deirdre, but that's just the maternal instincts of an editor for her writer. If the relationship stands the test of time, then who am I to fly in the face of true love?
Right, what's going on?
I don't know what you mean,
Brenda.
Oh, why did you insist on prizing it out of me?
Bernard's been in touch.
Who's Bernard? My ex-husband.
Oh, right. Which one's that?
The one I really did love very, very much.
Oh, Brenda.
Yes, divorcing him was the hardest thing I ever had to do.
Hang on, you divorced him?
Well, he smoked cigars, Deirdre. I constantly thought the lounge was on fire.
Oh, so now this Bernard's back in touch, is he?
Yes, it was odd because I was just thinking about Anna. You know, how she found a man against all the odds. Yeah. And then the phone rang, and it was Bernard.
I see.
Said he'd been thinking about me. Well, it brought it all back, Deirdre. Those tender feelings, those womanly yearnings. I thought 10 years in publishing had quashed all that.
So did I.
But hearing his voice again, it was intoxicating. Like Veuve Clicquot on the Bois de Boulogne. And before I knew it, I'd agreed to meet him for dinner.
You had? When?
Tonight. Okay, I admit it. I am in love with him.
With Brian?
No, with the postman. Who do you think?
All right, there's no need to be sarky.
I can't concentrate. My palms are sweating. I've got butterflies in my tummy.
Could be the flu.
And I can't get him out of my mind.
Tell me about it. How many times has he proposed to you now?
7.
My personal favourite was on the north face of the Eiger.
Anna, will you marry me?
Although the top of the Eiffel Tower was a bit more realistic.
Anna, I implore you, be ma femme.
Apart from the accent,
it's not just the proposals. I've fantasized the whole relationship. So far, I've moved in with him, married him, started a family, and just now I had a row with our teenage daughter and forbade her from getting a nose pierced.
Blooming Nora.
I know. Oh, Minnie, it's wonderful and terrifying all at the same time.
Yeah, and you know what the other problem is? You've lost the plot.
What? You mean you think I'm delusional, that there is no future for me and Brian, that I'm just deceiving myself?
No, the plot of the book, you ninny.
Oh, see.
Bob doesn't know if he's coming or going. One minute he's waking Alice from a coma with a passionate embrace, and the next he's storming the fortress of my timidity with the elemental force of his ardour, whatever that means. I mean, as much as I enjoy being centre page, isn't Alice supposed to be the heroine?
Oh, I see what you mean. I've got him making love to both of you, haven't I?
Yeah, and you want to sort it out quick. Alice is fit to be tied, you should see her. Not happy with those bed sores. Not at all.
It's just that, now I think about it, I'm not sure if Alice should be the heroine.
Eh?
Well, that sort of love across the forbidden divide thing, you know, with you and Bob, it just seems a lot more interesting.
You mean, I could be the heroine?
I don't see why not. If you thought you were up to it.
Up to it? Are you kidding me? Right, I'll need more backstory, and I want equal billing with Bob in all the publicity, and I think Alice should be packed off to a convent hospital as soon as possible.
Now, hold on a minute. We'll just see how it works, Minnie. It's not definite. Now, where were we?
Lord Beeston was storming me fortress with his elemental ardour. Actually, Anna, why don't we make that a bit less vague, now I'm the heroine? I mean, Alice was a right prude, but I don't have any problems with having me fortress stormed in a much more literal sense.
Yes, thank you, Minnie. I think you'll find we're actually at the bit where you're banishing Lord Beeston from your thoughts, blanking him from your mind and erasing him from your memory.
Oh, I see. It's all right for you to be experiencing the thrill of adult pleasures, but not for me. Do you know your love life seems to be exerting a parallel but exponentially oppositional effect on the romantic involvements of your characters?
What?
You may remember me as Marie Curie's maid in
Radiation of Love, yes. And your point is?
If everything's all full steam ahead with you and Brian, why can't it be the same for Minnie Crabtree and Lord Beeston?
Minnie, that's different. You have to be resolute in the face of a forbidden cross-class love.
Oh, tar.
You see, it can't all be plain sailing. There has to be some conflict.
Why?
Well, because there always is. The romance novel is a distillation of mankind's every received experience of love.
Oh, come off it. It has to be all straightforward than that, or you'd have died out by now.
So, Brian, tell me, this woman you're knocking off, she's fetishy.
Dougie.
No, I'm only asking. Hey, it's that little Buddha we got in India.
What? Oh, my goodness. What is occurring?
Who is this madman? And why am I spinning through the air?
Dougie, please don't juggle with the statues. They're fragile. Whatever happened to your little Buddha?
Got broken.
How long exactly are you staying?
Oh, I'm not sure. A couple of days. I've got to find some heads to help me with this job. Are you sure you don't fancy it? Months work up in Shetland making giant fiberglass ducks for the Celtic Awareness Festival? It's a fantastic opportunity.
No, I don't fancy it. And anyway, what have ducks got to do with Celtic awareness?
Well, if you have to ask. Oh, India, man. Do you remember that? Fantastic days. Fantastic single days. You weren't mooning over some skirt then.
Anna is not some skirt. She's someone I happen to really, really like.
Nice touch.
Dougie. Oh,
sorry, man. Didn't realise it was love. Seriously, though, Brian, you've got to be careful. You're such a soft touch when it comes to women.
No, I'm not.
What about Claire?
That was different. Anna's not like Claire.
Oh, she's a woman, isn't she?
Yes, but she doesn't have a criminal record.
How do you know? Did you ask her?
Dougie, will you put those down?
I truly believe he is the manifestation of Loki, god of evil.
He is like some mischievous monkey throwing things up in the air, not worrying where they could fall.
Dougie, you'll break them.
Sorry, man.
Well, at least Brian doesn't seem to be influenced by him.
Yes, but we must be vigilant. Now this malevolent presence is here. It is the job of the spirit guide to be like the all-seeing eye of Indra. That is to say, all-seeing.
As poor Alice slipped back into unconsciousness, Minnie could no longer hold back the tide of her emotions and sobbed freely into her mistress's counterpane, praying fervently for her recovery and touching Alice's cold lips with the warmth of her own. Oh, that's nice.
Hang on a minute. Hold your blooming horses. What's with all the hot girl-on-girl action all of a sudden?
Minnie, can you please stay on the page? You're breaking the flow.
Yeah, and a good job too. I don't think lesbian necrophilia sells well.
What are you talking about? Alice has fallen back into a coma. She's not dead.
Oh, but I'm still a daughter of Lesbos, am I?
No, of course you're not. Homosexuality doesn't exist in romantic fiction. It's in the rules. Barbara Cartland says so.
I mean, when I accepted the role of heroine, I was hoping my sex life would improve. I just didn't expect it to improve in that direction.
Will you shut up about that? You're not gay.
Oh, I see. You give with one hand and take away with the other. There's me beginning to get used to the idea, beginning to see the narrative possibilities. But oh no, you've changed your mind again. Now I'm shackled within the limits of my heterosexuality.
Oh, do put a sock in it or I'll put you in a coma. You're like an attention-deficient child. Remember, I can bust you back down to psychic just like that.
Oh, charming. I expect this is all because of Brian, isn't it?
What? What's all because of Brian?
Everything. Your insensitivity to your muse, your lapses in concentration, the sapphic subplot, probably.
There isn't a sapphic subplot.
Now you're in love, you don't give a tinker's cuss about the rest of us.
Right, that's it. I'm going to have a bath.
Hey? Wait a minute, you can't do that. We've still got work to do.
Oh, can't I? Brian's coming round for supper, and I'm going to go and get ready.
Typical. See? You think more about him than you do about me. Anna? Go on then, clear off, see if I care. I'll just sit here on my own. In the dark. In literary limbo.
8 inches high and lights up like a Belisha beacon.
I know.
Well, it's our wedding. What can you do?
Off the phone, Deirdre. I need some black coffee and a large scotch. Now!
Oh, dear. I'll call you back, Mum.
Brenda, did you get that stuff from Anna?
Yes, I just ploughed through 20 pages of that saccharine drivel in the taxi.
So you didn't like it?
No, I didn't. All that sobbing into counterpanes, it's ghastly. Like the Waltons in frock coats.
Oh, you've changed your tune.
Yesterday, Anna was helping you get in touch with your womanly feelings again.
Yes, well, after meeting Bernard last night, I've severed the connection once and for all. Do you know why my sneak of an ex-husband wanted to meet me? Not to rekindle the flames of fires burnt low. Oh, no.
Now, say when.
Leave the bottle. No, not to remember things past. He wants to stop my payments.
No.
Yes. Something about me earning more than him. Did you ever hear anything so ridiculous? I've got overheads, Deirdre.
Not to mention monthly facials.
So I stormed out, but not before stubbing his cigar out in his dinner and emptying his Chateau Lafitte down his shirt. And you know what I realised, Deirdre, as the waiter was wrapping my steak in tinfoil? I realised that I had learnt a valuable lesson. I should never have allowed myself to be influenced by Anna's love-struck babbling. The scales have dropped from my eyes with a resounding crash.
You don't mind me landing in on you like this, do you?
Of course not.
Mm. Oh, you smell nice. It's just I didn't feel like spending the night in the flat with Dougie.
But isn't he an old friend of yours?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's one of my oldest friends. He's seen me through a couple of really tough times. It's just he always insists on bonding with a marathon drinking session. And then when I sober up, I discover he's roped me into some harebrained scheme and I've lent him loads of money.
Oh, I see.
I mean, he's a very good sort, very protective. You've never been to prison, have you, Anna?
Sorry?
No, nothing. So anyway, I told him I always read to an elderly spinster on Thursdays and couldn't get out of it.
Brian!
No, actually, I told him I had a hot date with a foxy lady.
That's better.
Even the foxy bit.
Especially the foxy bit. Can you open this jar for me?
Mm. I am your servant, or if you prefer, your white-suited gigolo.
So you haven't seen this Dougie for a while?
No, you haven't ever been to prison, have you, Anna?
No, I haven't. Brian,
it's... No, it's just something stupid Dougie said. Blimey, I think this lid's welded on.
What do you want me
to... No, I haven't. Just, tell me how the book's going.
It's going very well, thank you for asking.
Good, I'm glad. Am I in it? Oh, this bloody thing.
No, but you're giving me lots of inspiration.
What sort of inspiration?
This sort.
Mm-hmm.
Now, shall I open that?
No, I've got it. Here we go. Oh. So tell me, am I still an inspiration with a jar of pesto down my front?
Oh, Brian!
We'll just have to eat dinner off my chest.
Come here, you.
Oh, no, not the damn crumb. Not the damn... Oh, no!
Oh, what a beautiful morning.
Yeah, what's left of it?
Minnie.
Right, come on, sit down. Let's get cracking.
You frightened the living daylight out of me.
Good. What have you been doing all morning?
Mm. No, on second thoughts, don't answer that. And don't start thinking about it either.
Brian made me breakfast in bed.
Could we just focus on my love life for a change?
Well, that's just it. I realised you were right
about killing off Ellis.
What? No, about the blossoming romance between Minnie and Lord Beeston. I've been focusing too much on the negative, on the traditional hurdles of a doomed cross-class love. But then, I was lying awake last night, cradled in Brian's arms, feeling the warmth of his skin next to mine.
Yes!
And I got to thinking, why not take an alternative view? Why not see what happens if there aren't any hurdles?
Anna, that's brilliant. Quick, let's get Bob out here before you change your mind. Oi, Bob! Bob!
Lord Robert Beeston at your service, ladies.
Anna, Minnie, so delightful to see you.
Yeah, Bob, we've no time for all that now. We're cracking on with the plot.
Oh, well, may I just inquire if there'll be any snarling or lip-curling? It's just that I pulled a muscle in the last chapter and I was hoping to avoid any further injury.
Don't worry, Bob. There'll be none of that sort of thing. This is the love chapter.
Oh.
Everybody ready? Right.
Good evening, Miss Crabtree.
He shouted into the wind, his muscular thighs gripping the girth of his trusty mare.
Whoa, girl!
Lord Beeston!
She gasped.
Taken aback by his sudden appearance.
A beautiful view, isn't it? I love to ride up here at sunset and watch Helios' fiery chariot gallop across the firmament.
Please, Robert.
She whispered, distracted.
We must not be seen together. You are a lord and I am but a lowly...
Stand in governess to my dead sister's children, I know, but what does that matter?
Oh, Robert, don't you see? We must speak no more of our doomed cross-class love. We may only speak of other things, of inconsequential nothings.
I hope this pretty meadow, thronged with flowers, does not offend you, sir. Though it is not a manicure garden, still, I think it is pleasant enough.
Oh, Miss Crabtree, you do me wrong if you think I care only for cultivation. The well-bred rose with its haughty, pampered bloom holds me not in its thrall.
No, my lord.
No, indeed. For in my heart, I will always prefer the sweet simplicity of a wild cockney blossom.
Oh, Robert.
Oh, Minnie, oh, darling, how can this be wrong?
Now, what about if Alice appeared at this point, sleepwalking up the hill?
Anna!
Sorry, just a thought.
Marry me, Minnie.
Oh, Robert.
Marry me and make me the happiest man in the world.
Oh, my God, you just proposed. Oh, yes, yes.
She sobbed ecstatically as she clung to his embrace. And so they held each other in the twilight, lost to everything but joy. Joy like they had never felt before.
Anna, I must say that was tremendous. Absolutely first rate.
I'm getting married to a lord halfway through chapter 6. Who would have believed it? Oh, if only I had an old mum and dad to see this.
Well, we could write you some in.
Could we?
How about if they're the pearly king and queen of Wapping? I can pop them in passing on page 2.
Really? Quite marvellous, Anna.
By the way, Bob, you didn't mind me taking over from Alice, did you?
Not at all. Actually, I thought perhaps we might put in some extra hours, you know, to work on our on-page chemistry.
Oh, Bob, that'd be lovely. Oh, but first me and Anna have to talk about wedding dresses.
We do?
Well, in that case, dear ladies, I needs must bid you adieu, for it would be bad luck indeed if I were to hear your feminine discussions. Farewell, sweet Minnie. I shall see you anon.
So you shall. Farewell, my love. Bob...
I thought that went very well, Anna, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Very well. Especially now you know what it feels like, too.
Hey? What feels like?
Falling in love.
What do you mean? Who's falling in love?
You are, with Bob.
Don't be daft. I'm a professional character. I'll have you know our relationship is purely fictional.
Oh, pull the other one. I thought you were going to pass out when he asked you to work on your on-page chemistry.
I really should be down in the shop, Dougie.
Hey, this is about spending some quality time with your old friend. Unless you've changed your mind about coming to Shetland, that is.
No, I haven't.
Well then, I've hardly seen you since I've been here. It's all Anna this and Anna that.
Oh, Dougie, she is lovely. She's like a breath of fresh air. She's like...
Yeah, you told me before. She's like warm rain in a country garden.
Garden.
Here, have another beer.
You see, he loves her.
Yes, yes. I think you are right. But what is this Dougie up to? I do not trust him one tiny iota.
You see, the thing that worries me, Brian... Don't know, I'm speaking out of turn here.
Oh, come on, Dougie, you can't do that.
No, it doesn't matter.
No, what were you going to say?
Yeah, well, I hope you don't think I'm out of order, mate. But I'm just a bit worried about you. You know, that you may be cruising for a bruising here.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I hope I'm wrong. I really do, but it's just... Well, how long have you known this woman?
Well, a few weeks. Why?
Well, do you remember when you first met Claire?
But I keep telling you, Anna's not like Claire. She's never had any kind of custodial sentence.
Look, you may be repressing the past, mate, but I'm experiencing deja vu here. It was just like this at the beginning with you and Claire. All sunshine and roses. And then once she had you suckered in, bam! She just stuck her fist right into your chest cavity and ripped out your still beating heart. Do you remember?
Well, I do now, Dougie. Yeah, thanks.
Oh, no. No. He is poisoning Brian's mind with fear and doubt.
But, Dougie, honestly, Anna's not like that.
I'm not saying she is. I hope she's not. I really do, man. But it's all happening very suddenly. I mean, how much do you really know about her? What did she do for a living?
Oh, well, funnily enough, she writes romantic fiction.
Well, you're joking me.
Hmm. No, why?
Well, there you are.
There you are what?
I thought you see it, man.
See what?
She's using you for a search.
What? Don't be dumb.
Well, seriously, think about it. What if you're nothing more to her than a human guinea pig?
Oh. Well, she did say I was giving her inspiration.
Bingo.
Yeah, but she didn't mean it like that.
Didn't she? Are you sure? All I'm saying is, I think you need a bit of perspective, a bit of distance.
How do you mean?
You should go away for a bit.
Don't listen to him, Brian.
Go away where?
Well, hey, what about Shetland? I'd be perfect.
So, Brenda, if I've understood you correctly, what you're saying is completely rewrite it.
If you could. You can't have a wedding halfway through the book, dear. There'll be nowhere left to go. Well, except downhill.
But after they were married, I was going to have Robert and Minnie team up to solve the mystery of his dead sister's inheritance.
Darling, it's historical romance, not an episode of Heart to Heart. Now, what their relationship really needs is a good dose of mistrust and conflict.
Oh, but I thought that was maybe a bit old hat.
Old hat? Anna, it is a very contemporary fact of life. The course of true love never runs smooth. Bye, dear.
Brenda. Oh, I don't believe it. Brenda, listen.
Anna, Anna, it's Brian.
Oh, what a nice surprise. I've just had the most awful conversation with Brenda. I don't suppose you fancy coming round and taking my mind off it, do you?
Well, I can't right now.
Oh, never mind. Perhaps I could pop up later.
Well, actually, Anna, I've got something to tell you. I'm in Shetland.
You're where?
I'm going... Dougie, have you got any...
Right. Right, another day, another dollar. So let's get to work.
Good morning, Anna.
Hello, hello, hello. Blimey, you're up right and early. Hello, Minnie. Hello, Bob. Here, are you all right? You've got a weird look in your eye.
Weird? Really?
Yes. What are you up to?
Oh, just deleting the whole of the last chapter.
What the blinking hell are you playing at, Mrs?
Brenda didn't like it. It all had to go.
So you just wiped out all our hard work without so much as to buy your leave?
Yes, it was too soppy.
Oh, so when it's me and Bob, it's too soppy, is it? But when it's you and your carpenter bloke, it's all right, I suppose.
Anna, please don't cry. I'm sure it can all be rewritten. I remember most of it by heart.
Oh, yeah, come on, Duck. Don't take on. We'll stand up to Brenda. God, I could swear for that woman. I really could.
It's not Brenda. It's Brian. He's gone to the Shetland Islands.
He's gone where?
He's gone to the Shetland Islands with his horrible friend Dougie.
Oh, for Pete's sake. You mean you binned my marriage proposal just because your fancy man's done a runner?
Minnie, I wonder if now is perhaps not the right time.
Well, he deleted the entire chapter, Bob.
Yes, but Anna does seem to be quite upset at the moment.
Well, I'm quite upset too. I've just had my wedding cancelled.
Get used to it. Brenda was right. The path of true love never runs smooth.
And do you know why?
Because it isn't actually a path at all. No, it's a great big banana skin.
Romantic Fiction was feistily written by Michelle Reed and starred seductive Samantha Bond, heaving Hugh Bonneville, and saucy Sue Elliott-Nichols, and also featured the bodice-ripping talents of Adjoa Ando, Cami Darwish, Andrew Wincott, Ewan Bailey, Beth Chalmers, Michelle Reed, and Michael Fenton Stevens. The pulsating producer was Dawn Ellis.